Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Light. I am so glad to be joined here with Jib and his lovely wife Tripathy again.
Hi Caleb, hi Tripathy.
Hi.
Yeah, we had a great conversation last week and I'm looking forward to this conversation as we continue our way through the Book of James and Gospel Living. What a great series for our church community.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that we're in it.
Yeah, super good. So before we get into it, let's get the question out of the way.
Cool. Okay.
Nothing crazy this week, but I'm really curious to know, what would you say in the past, I don't know, month or however long period it's been, has been a book or a resource that's been like influential in your walk with God?
The Bible.
That's great, yeah. Which book? Has it been James?
Hey, look, I've read through James recently. Here's a suggestion. This is sort of like pivoting a little bit. Read through James. You will have already read through James, I think, in the first week with your TC. It's not a very long book. Read through it again and again. When I was in university, I did laps through Proverbs as well. If James is the Proverbs of the New Testament, it's also going to be fruitful to read through over and over and over again. So
awesome.
While we're in it, get to know James really, really well.
Nice. What about yourself, Tripathy? Surely you have a better answer than Jim.
Surely.
Well, I've been reading Galatians by Tim Keller.
Awesome.
Not by Paul?
Not by Paul. Well, by Paul, but Tim Keller has got some things to say as well.
Yeah, cool.
I've been reading it with a couple of friends for a while now. Cool. We meet fortnightly, but it's taken longer to get through the book and we're still in it. It's been quite a few months now. So really just slowly digesting.
Yeah, nice. It.
Love it.
And that's been really good. We've had some good discussion, a lot of, you know, don't strive. But it's by grace that you've been saved. Nothing you can do, just really drilling that message home, which we need.
Brilliant.
Need to be reminded of. So that's been really good.
I love it. And good on you for sticking it out as well. I know like plenty of people have that love to do like read a book together with some friends.
Yeah, nice.
And often it's a lot harder when rubber hits the road to like continuously stick to it, especially being a mum and everything else on your plate.
Yep.
Cool. So
you're a reader.
I'm a reader.
Make up for mine not having read anything.
I'm currently going through a book by Paul Tripp called Reactivity, and then another one called Humility.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is maybe the best way to describe that one is it's like an exposition on Tim Keller's The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just a bit. It's not huge, but just a bit bigger.
Yep.
So those have been pretty cool.
Nice.
Easy reads as well. I'm not a smart person, so any book that can communicate something clearly and not, I like thinking philosophically, but I can't, like it takes me a long time to get through things.
If you say so.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Thanks for those recommendations.
No worries. So in the book of James, Tripathy, would you love to read the scripture for us today?
I would love to. James 1:13-18 in the ESV. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Awesome. Thanks for that. What's standing out to us? What are we noticing in this piece of scripture?
I think you said last week that you kind of have a lot of different topics in a short space in James. And this you could sort of call it two, but it really connects all nicely together. You have dealing with temptation, and you could call those bad gifts, which don't come from God. And then you have dealing with good gifts, which do all come from God. Mm. And so it's sort of how to receive gifts broadly. And one, you have to prepare your heart for, because it's not from God and it's evil. And that can come from within ourselves. It can come from around us. We can unpack that in a sec. But also knowing that every good and perfect gift is from God himself does wonders for a heart of gratitude for how we receive good gifts, how we enjoy goodness in the world around us and in our relationships with other people. Mm. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And that's what we see throughout the New Testament, especially, I think. Every time Paul writes to a church and is commending their goodness, I thank God for this you're doing. I thank God for that you're doing. Every good and perfect gift is from God. Mm. And in our humility, I hope people are praising God and thanking God for goodness that they're experiencing from me, because it's not ultimately from me. It is from God.
Awesome. What about yourself, Tripti? Just wanting to look at the first portion in terms of temptation. What you're noticing there?
I think, again, it says, let no one say when he is tempted. It's not an if, but it's a when.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen. We all face temptation. But then again, it's remembering that this is not coming from God, because temptation is evil, like you said, Jib, and it leads to sin and leads to death. So that is not from God. But he has given us what we need to avoid it, to flee from it, to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
And really, he's good. Mm. And so he's given us the best thing to look to and to look for and to seek, instead of this thing that we think is good, that we think will fulfill some desire that we have, but it's misplaced.
Yeah, good. Mm. Yeah, great. And doesn't James do such a great job painting quite a complete picture of temptation, beginning with desire, and then verse 15, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So desire turns into sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. It's like the whole death life cycle there. but it starts with kind of where temptation comes from, which is our own desires, when they're misplaced or misguided. Yeah.
It's an interesting distinction that James does make.
Yeah.
Like defining there's a difference between desire and temptation.
Yeah.
Are you able to like talk into that a bit?
Yeah, sure. I think sort of a desire is let's call desire like the needle of a magnet, and then the temptation is one of many things that may have a magnetic field that may draw the needle towards it. And so our desire is drawn to good things, but then a temptation will be something that takes a good desire and redirects it elsewhere. Mm. For example, there is nothing wrong with desiring good food, but in excess or to withhold from others, we can have all sorts of opportunities that can be unhealthy for us. It can bring us joy, but we shouldn't depend on it for joy. So a desire for good food is not a bad thing in and of itself, and it's even a healthy thing. We can enjoy good food with others. But there are many instances in our lives where we may be tempted that something that draws that needle in an unhelpful direction. Mm. And it's kind of up to us not to go that way.
Yeah. It's a great image. I love the one of food as well, because food is so, like, great. I love food and I love sharing a meal with others.
Yeah.
But if that's the end point, then, man, I missed the mark, because it's like that should cause, like, rejoicing in God. Yeah, like that should should be where it leads to, is like sharing a meal with friends. How delightful that we get to do this in God.
That's awesome, because that ties so beautifully to the second half as well, to like who's the giver of good things.
Right.
If it doesn't lead us to gratitude to God, is it actually a good thing, or is it something else that is kind of leading us away? And I think the better we get to know God, the better we get to know God's word, the more we've received God's wisdom, it can become very clear. I think it's usually very clear whether something is going to help us praise God, help us grow in our relationship with God, or if something's going to be unhelpful and it's something we should actually steer away from.
Yeah, love it. What's your thoughts on every good gift is from our Heavenly Father, Tripti?
Yeah, I love that it says, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Just reminding you that God does not change, that he is good, that he does give us good things, and that does not change. So again, like we were talking last week about whatever your circumstances may be, but that truth that God is good and he gives good things, that doesn't change. And sometimes we're looking for a specific good thing that we want from him, but he's already given us, I mean, he's given us the best thing. He's given us his son. He's given us salvation. But we can look for other good things. Again, it's like misplaced desires. We're looking for other small g good things, I guess, that will fulfill something in us. But he's already given us the best gift. He's given us the biggest, sort of the most life-changing gift. Yeah, that's never going to be taken from us. And so why wouldn't we believe that he would give us other good things? But again, all of these good things should be to glorify him. It's not about us. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, that's great. Awesome. That's so good.
And like while you're talking, I was just thinking, how does that impact our lives then on a practical level, if we had to believe that truth? Like you're saying, there's no variation in the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Like I'm reminded of that scripture. I think it's in Matthew as well, where it's like if someone asks, if you have a father, if someone asks their father for a loaf of bread, it's not going to give them a snake.
Yeah. Good.
Like there's, God is good. And if we come to him and ask him for something, he's going to give us what's good for us. So how does that look like in a like practical way, or how does it impact our lives if we believe that?
It's huge, because it where do we find our security? Where do we find our hope? You know, I used food as a temptation example before, because everyone enjoys some kind of food, but I think there are more apt examples for each of us individually probably. And so one is, if I'm not sure that God's going to provide everything my family needs and I'm the one providing in our family, then am I going to give my all to pursuing every opportunity to make as much money as possible, because that's where security is going to be found? And am I going, oh, well, you know, it's not evil to have money. James is going to have a lot to say later on about, he's already had some to say about the rich. He's going to have a lot to say later on as well. But if I think that I need to establish for myself and grasp for myself security for my family by my own means, then I'm not trusting in God. I'm going to go down paths that God hasn't set out for me. And so that's just, I guess, another example. But it is, where is your hope? Is it in God, who is good? Or if you lack hope, if you lack faith in God, what are you going to do instead? What are you going to try and do for yourself? How are you going to try and find that intimacy that you desire but you haven't found in a husband or wife yet? How are you going to find these other things without, if it's only up to you? And I think we all wrestle that in various ways throughout our lives. We need to trust that God really is good, always good, that we aren't waiting for a good mood from God, but we know that he knows what's best for us. Thank God that he doesn't vary, that he doesn't change, that he's always good, and that every good and perfect gift comes from him.
And then verse 18, Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Good.
So he has created us. He has given us good things. He's given us Christ. He has saved us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we are, he's created us, and we live our lives as sacrifices,
yep.
as living sacrifices yep. to him. Because he has given us the best thing.
Yeah.
And he has, yeah, he's given us everything. And so to live our lives just the moment to moment, parts of our life being sacrifices to him, mm-hmm. that we're going to, everything I do is going to be in worship, to glorify you.
Mm. Yeah, that's so good. That's huge, isn't it? Because we talk about, sometimes we talk about the simplicity, like how Christianity is available to anyone. Just believe in Jesus, right? Just love Jesus. But also, Jesus says, take up your cross, you know, forget this and that relationship that might draw you away from me, gouge out your eye, cut off your hand. You know, it's all or nothing. And so anyone and everyone can be a living sacrifice to Jesus. And it's not out of our goodness that we will actually be that, but we are called to be that. Mm. And God will enable us to do that. And just as back in the day when in the Old Testament times when they made sacrifices, these first fruit sacrifices were acknowledging that these whatever resources they had been given to them by God,
mm.
we need to acknowledge that whatever life we have has been given to us by God.
Mm.
And whatever purpose we have is actually given to us by God. We are created with a purpose. And in a world where a lot of people struggle with purposeless and meaninglessness and wondering where to find their purpose and establish purpose for themselves, to actually know wholeheartedly that we have a created purpose, a divine purpose, it is, oh man, if I could convince people of the satisfaction of knowing your purpose, the beauty of knowing your purpose.
Mm.
I think for some people, that's a game changer. And for others, they don't realize that they're already enjoying this purposefulness that they're finding God.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love that. It's a great reminder of the goodness of God. And yeah. like in terms of bringing this conversation to a close, what's an encouragement or a thought that we can go into our week to reflect on the goodness of God, maybe.
I guess maybe a question is, how are you nurturing your desires? If temptation starts with desires, and desires are usually for good things, but if we nurture our desires in the wrong ways, they continually point to unhelpful things. They continually point to sin. How are you nurturing your desires so that are you nurturing your desires towards God, aligning your desires with God's? Or is your way of resisting temptation and being temptation just not acting on the desires in your heart even while they are dwelt upon? Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of a roundabout way of putting it. But in Matthew 5, Jesus talks about how anger in your heart is breaking the commandment not to murder, and lust with your eyes is breaking the commandment not to commit adultery. How do you set yourself up for success against temptation? It has to be prayer, but it also has to be trying to align your desires with God's rather than just trying to keep your sins internal.
And I think for our lives, for us to live our lives as living sacrifices to God, taking every good thing that God has given us and just glorifying him with it, in it, you know, just wanting to, in the mundane, in the everyday, sort of everything we do, doing it for the Lord because it's all from him. He's given it to us, and the right way to respond, the right way to live our lives is in worship of the giver of good things, not glorifying the things that we've been given, but glorifying the one who's given them to us.